Good evening, everyone. It is 7:03, and it is Tuesday, September 14, 2021. This is a regular assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska. Tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be recited by Assembly Member Terry Corson.
Pledge allegiance to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. That's just throwing you off. It's like a gong shield there. Ceremonial matters, there are none tonight. Kim, would you please call the roll?
Let's just start over. Assembly members Corson?
Here.
Gilbert?
Here.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan
Howe?
Here.
Del Rimple?
Here.
David Powell? And Mayor Prasanna.
Yes, I'm here as well. Item number three, persons to be heard, section WMC 3.05.040C states that the chair may call to order any person who is breaching the peace or being disorderly by speaking without recognition, engaging in bullying or catcalls, speaking vulgarities, name-calling, personal attacks, or engaging in other conduct which is determined by the chair to be disruptive of the meeting. Any person so disrupting a meeting of the assembly may be removed and barred from further attendance at the meeting unless permission to return or remain is granted by a majority vote of the assembly. So under persons to be heard tonight, for number one, we have a member from the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission.
Looks like we have Brenna Walker and Tiss Peterman on the line.
Okay, let's start with Ms. Peterman. Tiss, are you on the line there? Tiss, are you on the line? She's on the line?
Tiss, can you hear us? She's unmuted.
I cannot hear her. Okay, and who's the other person, please, Kim?
I'm sorry. Leanna.
Leanna, are you on the line?
Good evening. Yes, I am.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Good evening, City and Borough of Wrangell Mayor and Assembly Members, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Brianna Walker. I'm the campaign coordinator for Standing Beyond Borders, and I'm joining you this evening from Occoquan and Shingidani, ancestral and present homelands of the Occoquan Siksik peoples in Juneau, Alaska. As many of you know, the Talkuskokeen and Mimic rivers are world-class transboundary salmon rivers that originate in northwest British Columbia and flow into southeast Alaska. These rivers have been centers of culture, commerce, and biodiversity for thousands of years. They are also economic powerhouses. They contribute $48 million annually to Southeast Alaska's economy, $34 million in direct spending, over 400 jobs, and almost $20 million in labor income for Southeast Alaska's annual multi-billion dollar fishing and visitor industries. Historically, these three rivers produce 80% of Alaska's Southeast Alaska's wild clean salmon. Despite concerns from communities and lawmakers downstream, British Columbia is feverishly rushing through massive open-pit gold and copper mines that include colossal toxic waste storage facilities at the headwaters of the Talkuskokeen and Nunavik. This is happening without the meaningful input of communities and tribes downstream in Alaska, and is despite a global push to ban earth and mine tailings dams. The resolution that you have on your agenda for discussion tonight is similar to resolutions that have been passed before in that it requests President Biden and the U.S. federal government to continue to call on the Canadian federal government to secure binding enforceable protections for the Talkuskokeen and Nunavik. Additionally, this resolution also calls on President Biden and the U.S. government to request of Canada temporary pause on BC mine exploration, expansion, and permitting in transboundary watersheds until these watershed protections, consistent with the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples and the U.S.-Canada Boundary Waters Treaty, are implemented. Moreover, this resolution requests the Biden administration to call for a permanent ban on mine waste or tailings dams which is the perpetual storage of toxic mine waste underwater and behind earthen dams along shared rivers. Brazil, Chile, and Peru have banned such tailings dams, like the one that failed at Mount Pauli and in Brazil in the last 7 years. The resolution you have before you has been passed by the City of Tennessee Council, the City of Pelican Council, the City of Saxony Council, and has also been passed by the Craig Tribal Association, the Organized Village of Cake, and Rainbow Cooperative Association. Additionally, over 2 dozen Southeast Alaska businesses, local organizations, and community members have signed on to a community version of this resolution. In addition to that, we have a short letter asking for a temporary pause and ban on tailings dams to President Biden that over 100 Alaskans have signed. I think I've reached my 2 minutes, so I'll pause, and if Tiff is available, let her speak, but I will remain online and be available for questions during your discussion. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it very much. Tiff, are you on the line tonight?
Yes, I am.
Hi, please go ahead, Tiss.
Well, first of all, thank you for taking my comments this evening. I work for the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Trans Boundary Commission, SEITC. I'm here tonight to ask your support for SEITC's request of the BC government to pause any permits on new mines in their region. Our request is based on the United Nations Declaration of Indigenous rights, which BC is implementing and includes the rights of Indigenous people and downstream communities. We ask for the BC government to pause the permits until it can determine just how that is going to be done. This is the first time since SEITC was formed in 2014 that I felt a glimmer of hope, a small glimmer, that there will be change in how BC manages the resource extraction and what it means to our communities in Southeast Alaska. My hope is that the Rainbow Borough Assembly will support our request as we continue to fight for our way of life. Thank you for the opportunity to address the Assembly tonight.
Thank you so much for calling in, Tiss. Appreciate your time tonight. Is there anyone else? To speak on transboundary?
No.
That's it? Okay. And I'm going to ask for help with the pronunciation of the name of our next speaker.
Mr. Lee?
Is that online or? Are you on the phone? Hi. Could you pronounce your first name for me, please? We can't hear you. Could you pronounce?
Hunky is my first name.
Thank you so much, Hunky. Please go ahead.
How many minutes do I have?
3 minutes, sir.
3 minutes, okay. Hello, everybody in Rango. My name is Hunky Lee. I'm in Wasilla, Alaska, in Matsumoto. And I'm running for United States Senate as an independent Alaskan. And I did my homework, and I learned a few words in Quechua language. It's a very beautiful language. Wasayate, I guess it's even hello, and also Kunachish, I think even thank you. So that's 2 words that I learned. And I also read about the history of Rango, and his wonderful story, and history, and also I learned about the title of Chief Sheikhs. I was so fascinated by this rich culture, like the totem pole, and back in the days, like timber industry, fishing, all these different, like, cultures. So, yeah, I did my homework, okay? So I'm going to go to the Senate. So, what's my campaign platform? Well, it's about, like, environmentally sound development. Okay, I agree with the lady, Ms. Walker. Yeah, the tailing dam, I don't think it's a good idea because it happened like 10 years ago in British Columbia, the dam collapsed and all those toxic mining waste flew right into the river. So I don't think it's a good idea to put those tailings in a dam. But what I propose instead is to use those tailing, mining rock waste to build the road as an asphalt cement road, rocks are toxic, but if we build a road with those rocks, then we can prevent vegetation growth in those rocks, in those roads, because nobody wants a tree root sticking out of the road, in the middle of the road, because they could cause car accidents and flat tires, right? And also, nobody's eating, having picnic lunch in the middle of the road either. So, when we build asphalt roads, we use tar, which is toxic, okay? So, and those toxic material can prevent vegetation growth along the highway or road. So, it's like sort of a herbicide, okay? So, that was my suggestion. Having said that, I agree. Development versus preservation of culture and nature, they should be always balanced between those two competing interests. So yeah, that's what I stand for. I'm independent. I'm neither conservative nor liberal. I'm kind of in the middle, kind of centrist. Okay, so I guess that's my 3 minutes. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lee. We appreciate you calling in and introducing yourself. Best of luck in the election, sir. All right. Is there anyone else?
Thank you.
Is there anyone else under persons to be heard?
I don't have anybody signed up under anybody else.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. All right. And moving along here. So next, is there any amendments to the agenda? Hearing none. Number five, any conflicts of interest? Mr. Corson?
I have a conflict of interest due to personal reasons in the executive session.
Thank you. We will recluse you from the executive session. Appreciate you declaring your conflict. Any other conflicts of interest tonight? Seeing none, we'll move on to number six, consent agenda. There's a motion.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
Moved by Gilbert. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Corson. Thank you. Any discussion? Assemblymember Gilbert?
I noticed that when we were talking about the DCCED grant for the city dock fender pile repair, that it expires June 30th.
It's done. We have expended the funds, and the grant reporting has, the final report's gone in.
Okay, so that's not related to the item on the agenda tonight.
Mr. Mayor, may I?
Yes, please go ahead.
So, no, the money that, the grant money was used to purchase the materials ahead of time. This is the contract to do the installation.
Okay.
Perfect, thank you.
Sorry, yes. For the consent agenda, is that what you are questioning? Because we're on the consent agenda.
We're on consent agenda. It was an item within the consent agenda, looking for clarification on that item.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, yep. No, I think we're well within our bounds. Yeah, no, I know where you're. I was listening carefully to you. We're good. Kim keeps us in line.
No.
Is there any other questions or comments on the consent agenda? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
And Mayor Fasano?
Yes. Item number seven, Borough Manager's Report. Lisa?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a couple of items before I ask Captain Spray to give the COVID update. The first is, Mr. Mayor, I don't know if you were going to mention this or not. You signed on to an op-ed that was written by the Alaska Municipal, Nils Andreessen at the Alaska Municipal League, related to the response by island communities to the COVID pandemic, and that is going to be submitted to the ADN tomorrow. So hopefully that op-ed will be out for everybody to see. Also, we received notification today from the U.S. Forest Service regarding the Southeast Alaska Sustainability Strategy, and it was sort of last minute, and I sent an email out. I don't know if anybody's been able to see it. I did forward that as a KYP to the Assembly late this afternoon. Amber is going to be able to sit in on that meeting tomorrow afternoon and hear about it. But I also sent an email to Clint asking him to add that to the work session that he's going to be. We've scheduled a work session with the U.S. Forest Service for the first meeting in October. So we'll add that sustainability strategy to that list of things. And the final thing I'd like to do before we move on to other stuff is I would like to very happily happily introduce our new finance director, Mason Valarma, who started last Tuesday, and I'm just so excited he's here. So I don't know if you want to take your mask down for just a second there and say hello to everybody.
Mason, you want to say anything, or are you good?
No, I think we're good. I'm just happy to be here, and you know, you guys have been super gracious and welcoming. I'm excited to roll up my sleeves and get to work for you guys, and I think the department faces a lot of challenges, but I think we have the tools to meet those, and if we don't, I'm going to ask you guys for them. So we're gonna do really well, and I got a great team behind me, and I'll give you guys a better report next time around. So thank you for having me here tonight.
Find $250,000 under your hat somewhere.
Thank you, Mason. Appreciate that. Is there questions for the city manager on her report or any items that were... Oh, sorry, would you like
Yes, if Captain we could, Spray whenever you're ready, Mr. Mayor. Captain Spray, she does have a little presentation.
Yeah, we'll
here.
Get you to come up to the podium, please. Awesome. Thank you, Dee Dee.
I have that fear running through me. Sure. Sorry, I surprised Kim.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, sorry about the mess.
No, I like green painter's tape. I'm good with it. Hopefully it works. Hopefully. Okay. Good evening. No Zoom. Here we go. So Lisa asked me to do a COVID update tonight, our first one that I'm here for in person, not on Zoom. So... And of course, the first slide I put up is inaccurate, and I super apologize. This information has not yet been updated since the 10th. We actually have public health is monitoring only one case for Wrangell that is active right now. So I want to start off on a very happy note. We only have one person who is currently, that we know of, in isolation. So that's that. The rest of it is not that happy, I just forewarn. It's kind of grim looking at the state alert level. We are kind of wholeheartedly in a high. Previously, when I gave you guys reports, we only had three colors, and then back about a month ago, they changed that to be in line with the CDC, and so you can see that the majority of the state is still in red. This is an improvement from last week when we were solid red. However, we remain in a high with a transmission rate of 601.5. 25 areas are in a high alert level, and that's cases per 100,000. Zero areas are in that substantial alert level, two areas in moderate, and only one area in low. And just a little inside, that area is Petersburg. So they're right next door. We have the ability to get there. but yeah, it's we're red all over the board there. So we just got to do to get down. The numbers that came out today for yesterday's case counts are 691, and that includes resident cases and non-resident cases. Seven reported deaths, and those come from death certificate reconciliations. 202 hospitalizations right now, along with nine that are suspected COVID. That just means that the test hasn't come back at the time of the press release. Again, the state alert level is in high, and 56.5 Alaskans, 12 and older, are vaccinated. The statewide percentage of daily tests, as you can see, we're on a very large increase. The sharpest surge increase in case counts, placing Alaska fourth among the remaining states in the nation. For the past 2 weeks.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask a question of that?
Yeah, please go ahead.
So Captain Spray, we are fourth in terms of case count per 100,000.
Of the surge, yes, that we're in within the last 2 weeks. Yes, as of today, we are fourth. On the next slide, we are actually second only to North Dakota as far as percentage. Increase in hospitalization over the past 2 weeks for the nation. So, And we are at the highest, there's a little more information here within my slides, the highest level that we've been in yet during this pandemic for hospitalization rate, and you can see that sharp increase.
I read just before I came to the meeting in the Cambridge paper that Providence has gone to critical care, which means they'll be triaging people, right?
That's correct. That's later in my slide. That's okay. I was hoping other people had seen it too. Yeah, it's not a good position that we're in, and especially with one of our largest hospitals, to put out that announcement, and just it's their plea for help right now. So, again, just a quick brief on our situation today. Again, that 202 hospitalizations. 9 suspected, and 33 on a ventilator, which requires more personnel, more resources at those hospitals that they are at. Just a glimpse of what's going on at each hospital. This is for South Central and Interior Region. Many of them are full or near capacity. This is where we're sending our folks to if we have any issues. So we try to keep that on our radar, what's going on elsewhere, because we don't have the resources that a lot of these hospitals have. So they're our go-to. Also, looking at the numbers for Seattle, I didn't include it in my slide, I apologize, but Seattle is about 96% capacity on the majority of their ICU beds and hospitalizations. I don't know if I get to call on you.
But the thing about the hospitals is, and maybe this will be a long-term thing that we wrestle with as a country, but it's a problem of optimization right there. Like, hospitals are designed, like, they look at long-term trends and they say, this is how many hospital beds we need. So we're totally unprepared when you need 20 extra. And we've optimized to the point where, like, we don't have any spare capacity.
We don't have any bed capacity, we don't have any resource capacity, and we are definitely maxed out on personnel. And just the energy that it's requiring right now. So, yes, I absolutely agree. Southeast Alaska, we already begin with very few ICU beds, and so when we're at near capacity, you know, that's for us is not a surprise, because we don't start off with a ton like our partners to the north of us. So Bartlett, as you can see, their psych capacity holds are full. And they're at near capacity for their ICU. Inpatient ICU. As Assemblymember Morrison was speaking about, the Dr. Joe McLaughlin, the state epidemiologist, had some things to say during Providence's announcement that they were reducing their capacity or going to a triage system, and speaks to what we've got going on there. I know y'all can read. Am I on Zoom too?
No.
Okay. So, anyhow, I'm on KSDK though. Hey, I'm sorry. Okay. So, state epidemiologist Joe McLaughlin said Alaska's experiencing one of the sharpest surges in COVID-19 in the country. Quote: Alaska currently has more people hospitalized with COVID-19 compared to any other time during the pandemic. He said, quote: Alaska. And Alaska is second only to North Dakota for the percent increase in hospitalizations due to COVID-19 over the past 2 weeks, end quote. So, I know there's some questions among the community members, and we've received them on the hotline and directly to the travel email about what variant is it, or what's going around. Do we have the Delta here? How do we know? We don't know who, what cases are sequenced. They do that a bit at random. There was question just recently whether we have the Mu variant or not. This information was just released earlier today. On the state call earlier this afternoon, this information was released. And it is evident that the Delta variant is kind of running strong throughout the state. The mu variant is not a variant of concern on their radar right this very second, just because of they're not finding it as much as they really thought they would. They found it earlier in June, and Delta is just much stronger and present. It breaks it out by section. I apologize, that's probably kind of hard to see among Southeast, but you can see that dark orange, and that is your Delta variant that the state is reporting, finding in the majority of cases throughout the months. Each week they give us an update on airport testing, not hospital testing. Airport testing in the past week, they had nearly 5,000 people came through to be tested, whether they were traveling or they were using the airport testing because they were community members for asymptomatic testing. And they do specify that a little more detail. But however, they found 362 positives identified through this testing. And on a very happy note, they are extending that contract until the end of December. Search is looking at moving their testing, and they won't be conducting that at the airport any longer. It takes a lot of their resources and staff, you know, a couple of their staff out of the game, and so they're going to be moving it up to the Search campus and conducting that out of the trailer that's already set up and doing that, which they're hopeful will allow more access for community members for asymptomatic testing throughout the week, and also have some hours available over the weekend too. So very positive there. Again, we are on an increase. We do expect to see this move a little bit in the other direction, as we don't have so many travelers necessarily during the winter. So though we had an increase in positive cases at the airport, we do expect to see just testing in general decline for the airport testing. In regards to vaccination, Wrangell specifically, out of this number, Wrangell specifically has 62% of persons 12 years or older vaccinated, which is very good. This is an overall for the state of Alaska at 61.9% of residents with at least one dose, 12 and up, and fully vaccinated we're at 56.5%. There's some question about the booster shot, and that is still in discussion. The federal partners are going to be talking about that this Friday, and then ACIP will have a discussion on the 29th of September, so we don't expect to be offering booster shots before that, but Search has stated that they are ready to offer those when it is approved. And for those folks who are vaccinated, you have an opportunity to win $49,000 by going to giveakashot.com and entering your name into the sweepstakes. That's for youth 12 to 17. Youth 12 to 17 have a little different opportunity where they can win $49,000 that goes to a 529, Alaska 529 education savings plan. And adults have the opportunity to win money. So, yeah, just want to put in a plug there for that.
Thank you very much, Captain Spray. Are there questions?
That's what
I got. So I just want to say a couple things. I really appreciated the update on KSDK the other day. I thought it was absolutely excellent, possibly the best update that I've seen. I really appreciate the outreach through the Chamber of Commerce that's going on, and the collaborative working with the Chamber. I really like that a lot, and the more that we can do that, I think that's the way to go for sure. At this point, City Manager Von Bargen, what level of operation status is the EOC at? What is the routine? What are you guys doing?
The routine is, although we didn't last week because there was a holiday and then I was traveling, Catherine Spray and Jamie Roberts and I meet to go over the talk about the week and the needs of the week and what needs to happen. And then if there are issues that come up that relate to other things, then other members of the EOC team or folks who are operationally impacted are brought in to have those discussions.
Are we still collaborating with the search crew and making sure?
Yes, we started having an outdoor, and I don't know what our frequency is going to be, but as we were starting to spike again, we did start to have the joint meetings with search folks, the UC meetings again.
Okay, can I please ask that if we do move the testing facilities from the airport, that we have signage at the ferry terminal, ports and harbors, and the airport? Dee Dee.
Already done. The search is already on that. They addressed that in our discussion or emails back and forth about moving that, and we're going to be making sure that that notification was up at all of those facilities. Yes.
Thank you. And the last thing that I'd ask City Manager Von Bargen is, could we please review, as we do with all job descriptions, could we please review the deputy or the assistant EOC director's job description at the next assembly meeting?
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Also, keep in mind our superintendent of schools and keep him in the loop.
So, can I just add a couple of things? I apologize.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Go ahead.
So we were working with the school. Before school started, we started a discussion with them. And we're working with them because of public health. The superintendent received notification that public health will not be contact tracing for positive cases that happen within the school. So if it happens within school, they've identified that this... that there's a lot of contacts and whatnot. It is up to the school to make the determination and start making the close contact phone calls and do contact tracing. Public health will still continue to do contact tracing for any positive cases that occur outside of the school district. So it threw them a little curveball because that's not what we were used to last year. There's still ongoing conversations of how exactly that looks for them. Because they don't have a nurse on site. So we're staying pretty close with those guys just to monitor and see what's going on. They were also working towards starting some antigen testing. They've continued to do their testing with search at this time for their sports traveler or and athletes who are traveling. But that was also as part of the discussion was starting some BinaxNOW antigen testing for those sports teams. So yes, conversations still continue with superintendent.
Assemblymember Howe.
You might know something about this. I just saw that Anchorage ASD, the Anchorage School District, they just passed a new, amendment to their COVID policy where asymptomatic close contacts don't have to quarantine as long as they're wearing masks universally in the school district. What do you know about that?
That's the same for anyone who's vaccinated. Of the general public. If you are considered a close contact but you are vaccinated, the requirement for isolation or quarantine for you is no longer there.
So it's not all
CDC
children.
Guidance.
It's not all children in ASD, it's vaccinated children only.
I'm not sure about ASD. I just know that the CDC guidance for vaccinated individuals. Yeah.
I know. I got
the
phone call.
I believe it was all.
Okay. We'll have to watch that really closely, see what happens.
They do some different things up there.
they're up and down. They're hot and cold, aren't
they? That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Captain Spray. Sorry, is there any other questions on that topic? All right, moving along. Back to the city manager's report. Any questions, comments on the city manager's report? One thing just for follow-up, and you did mention it in an email, but I just want to make the assembly aware, we need to follow up on the social services position with OCS.
I have a meeting with them at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon.
Just so you know, the principal, Bob Davies, reported to me that he had been told by social services that position was a year out, so that's concerning if they're saying that to him.
Mr. Mayor, I have an email from yesterday saying we're nearly a quarter of the way through the year, and so we need to get this moving, which
Thank you. I really want to see this happen, so that's great. Any other questions for City Manager? Assemblymember Gilbert.
And I looked on the CIP project list, mm-hmm. and I may have missed it, but I didn't see anything about the refurbishing our power plant or the survey on Case Avenue with new poles and so forth, I didn't see much concerning the electric plant, the powerhouse. And I may have missed it, but would you double check to make sure?
I will. Mr. Mayor, may I respond?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
So the Case Avenue survey was part of the bigger survey project. I agree with you, I don't think that's on there, so we can add Case Avenue and just the survey stuff, because that's, some of that's still in play. I think the power plant might be listed under Utilities Campus Master Plan.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah, it was in a different place.
Yeah, I think it's not what you would intuitively think of as the powerhouse replacement. So I'll look at that.
Yeah, I did have a question on that.
Okay.
And then metering, were we still looking at that remote metering for electrical?
You're talking about the AMI system or the AMR system? Yes, and that is something that Rod is working on right now. So he's got, I think I mentioned to the assembly previously that during some of our budget discussions that rather than the hefty price tag of the AMR, he's come up with an AMI option that is significantly cheaper. And so I believe he's talked to Amber about that a little bit. And so we'll get an update to that as well.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
I just wanted to say,
Kevin Morrison.
I just really appreciated getting this CIP spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
Something we've been asking for, and I really do appreciate whoever generated it.
It was Amber.
Okay.
The arrows, the flashy colors, and the percentages.
No.
Okay.
Speaks right to me.
I like it.
All right. One thing that I'd like to mention is that I am impressed with the OSHA report. I think that was really smart to do, and it shows that we are concerned about safety of our workers. I see we've got a fair things to tick off, and that's okay. We'll work through them, but it's nice that we're moving forward with that. So great focus. I appreciate that. Moving on to the borough clerk's report, item number 8.
Yes, as you can see in my report, my focus right now is election information. So our regular election will be on October 5th. I received and I tested the ballots in our voting unit, and we're good to go for the election, which will be held at the Nolan Center on October 5th from 8 to 8. So September 20th is the start of absentee voting, and that can happen in my office from 8 to 4, Monday through Friday. I will, at the next assembly meeting on the 28th, be bringing to the assembly a request for the canvas board. That'll be 3 assembly members, which will be assembly members Morrison, Mayor Prasanka, and assembly member Gilbert. And then also I will be asking for a special assembly meeting to certify the election, which will be on the 7th, same day as the canvas board. I have started to publish the sample ballot, so people will be able to see it. And let's see, the other thing, for the AML conference in November, it's going to be from the 15th actually through the 17th. I have on here the 19th, but it's actually the 17th. Newly elected officials training. I'm really excited this year. They're doing it by Zoom. And so that gives a great opportunity for those who really haven't been able to go. And so I'll send more information about that when I get it. And we'll get you registered. So yeah, I'm really excited about that. The other thing, CSWA, the CSWA Board Southeast Alaska Solid Waste Authority, there's 2 vacancies. Chris Hatton, or Chris Funes, has been the board member on that board for quite some time, since 2015, and she resigned since she put her name in the hat for the Port Commission seat. So Tom Weidar, our Public Works Director, submitted a letter of interest for the director seat, and we have an alternate seat available as well. And so that's on the agenda for the 28th for appointment by the assembly.